Welcome to Raise Your Vibe and Heal. Have you ever experienced grief so deeply and profoundly you didn't know how you would ever be able to get out of bed again? Well, that happened to today's guest, author Camille Dan, when her oldest son, Aaron, died suddenly and unexpectedly from an accident at the age of 31. Life as she knew it would never be the same. On today's podcast, Camille shares her journey of how she has been navigating her healing experience with Aaron on the other side, delivering messages and signs. She shares some tips on what we should say to those that are going through the grieving process, as well as some resources and the gift that she has received as a result of this entire experience. Camille is the self-published author of Aaron's Energy, An Unexpected Journey Through Grief and the Afterlife with My Brilliant Son. She is the publisher and curator of Gathering at the Doorway, an anthology of signs, visits, and messages from the afterlife, and a chapter contributor to Chicken Soup for the Soul, Grieving Loss and Healing, and the Beauty of a Grieving Mother. It is my honor to welcome Camille to the podcast today. Welcome, Camille, to Raise Your Vibe and Heal. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you. I'm really happy to see you again.
Oh, my friend, it's been a while. You know, I have to thank you because your books have just really changed my life. The first book I remember I was looking at, I believe it was a Helping Parents Heal Instagram page. And I remember seeing, oh my gosh, I want to say this was probably 4 years ago, maybe at this point. And I remember I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw this post about Aaron's energy. And I was just, it was one of those moments where it was like, ding, 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 pay attention. And I see lots of stuff that'll scroll as we all do, right? And I saw your book and I knew immediately I needed to get the book. And you were so kind and gracious to come on to my first podcast. And we talked about Aaron's energy. And as a result of that, as a result of that conversation, which was almost, let's see, that was 3 years ago now, you invited me to share my chapter in this amazing book, Gathering at the Doorway, which literally just changed my life because I met so many people because of your work. And before we get into the books per se, if you could just share a little bit about your backstory and how you started this journey with those who are new to your work, please.
Well, you know, I believe that that our loved ones in spirit are guiding us. They are our guides and they guide us together to do things like what we're doing and like gathering at the doorway, any of this. I felt I was a spiritual person.
Okay.
You know, and I believed that there was more out there. But I never really explored it and didn't really believe a lot of the stuff that people here called woo-woo at the time. I was an ICU nurse and had a pretty much of a science-based education and practiced in critical care nursing. And even though during my practice I witnessed some near-death experiences, I still put it off to function of the brain, the lack of oxygen to an area in the brain. When Aaron's my oldest son, when he was 31 years old, he suddenly passed away in an accident. And I was in a state of shock. It was sudden and very unexpected, of course, at that age. You don't expect to outlive your child normally anyway. And even in the early stages of after losing Aaron, he was trying to contact me.
Okay.
A friend of mine who was always interested in clairvoyance and mediumship and signs from spirit, she'd been talking to me about things that had happened to her, you know, for years and years. And I used to think, oh, well, that's so nice if it helps you to believe that, you know, nice for you. She came to me within days of Aaron's passing with a handwritten note that she believed she had channeled from Aaron to give to me. And even though we were close friends, there were some things in this note that she wouldn't have known. And the next day, there was a police investigation going on surrounding the accident. The next day, when we went to meet with the police, one of them said something that was word for word in the note.
Wow.
I forgot everything else he said. I just stood there speechless. It was word for word.
So when you're speechless in that moment, what's going through your head? You're in this tremendous amount of grief. And I, as having adult children myself, I can only imagine what that must feel like for you. And so yes, you're in this place. So what's going through your head when you hear this?
Well, that gets through. A lot doesn't when you're in that state of shock. They call it grief fog, brain fog. I was just pretty much going through the motions day to day, mostly not even wanting to get out of bed. My memory, I couldn't think of anything. I was kind of like not really fully there. So just trying to grapple with all the confusion of losing my son and the disbelief of it. Takes a long time for your, I think your brain protects you by only allowing little bits through, but certain things like that, they're going to get through that fog.
Absolutely.
But what I came to know later is that actually they know, our loved ones on the other side know things before they happen. And this was a way Aaron was showing me that he knew what was coming. That was his first contact with me. I know what's going to happen, Mom. And then a couple weeks later, I did start reading. Some friends brought me books on grief and healing. And I started reading some excellent books. Megan Devine's book, It's Okay That You're Not Okay. And Resilient Grieving by Lucy Hone, which was another book I read early on. And a lot of advice talked about going out into nature, spending time out in nature. So we decided to drive up north, and it was October, and the leaves were all changing colors. And I tell this story in Aaron's Energy about how I was marveling at the colors of the fall leaves along the highway. And then all of a sudden, it hit me like a tidal wave. My son is never going to see this beautiful sight again. And as soon as I had that thought, I heard his voice. Like he was a passenger in the car with us.
Wow.
He said, I see it. I can see it, Mom. I do see it. And Aaron? And he said, yes, I can see the colors of the leaves, but not like you do. He said, I see the energy that the leaves are emitting. He said, I can't describe the colors to you. They're beyond what you can see. And that really was the starting point. And then everything, when I think back to those early days after, now, of course, I've had a spiritual awakening, like it or not. Aaron has been delivering me constant messages about his afterlife, about what it's like there, about how things are. He's even gone into physics and metaphysics with me to explain, because of my sciencey mind. It had to make sense to me too, if I was going to really, well, eventually it became so much with evidence, and he appeared in Sonia Rinaldi's documentary and in her catalog of unknowns, of images. Yeah, this is it. So these are called trans images. And I was watching the documentary called Rinaldi on Sonia Rinaldi that Sandra Champlain produced. And in the documentary, I see a photo of my son that I've never seen before. And I just about fell out of my chair. And I contacted Sonia to let her know, I think that's a photo of my son. She went to the catalog of unknowns and found over 100 trans images of him. And she literally has thousands of trans images of unknown people who have crossed over.
So the first time you saw this image was in the movie?
In the documentary, yes.
I remember this because I remember when that documentary came out, and I remember when you posted that. That was just not. So for those of you that are listening to this on Spotify or on podcast, if you go to my YouTube channel, Lisa H. Snyder, you'll be able to see the images that Camille is talking about, these trans images. And for those who are unfamiliar with Sonia's amazing work, could you just briefly explain what the trans images are?
Yes. So what I learned was that Sonia is a researcher in Brazil. She has a laboratory in which she conducts trials on receiving voices, IVP, I think it's called, communication. And she's developed a technique to also receive images of spirit. So, and she's come so far in her research that now she's able to receive 3D images. And in some of the images of Aaron, he's moving, he's opening and closing his eyes, he's smiling. This example is one of many that she sent me after that she discovered. And I put this one in Gathering at the Doorway, but I have so many of them. And in one of the images, there's my father with Aaron, and in another one, my mother and father with Aaron.
Your parents are in spirit. Okay.
Yes. Okay. My mother passed 4 months before Aaron, and my father passed the following year.
Oh, wow.
And when I saw that, I thought, well, there's no way that anyone could have known that these people even knew each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're not of images that, like, they're not of old photographs, they're not of any digital photos. And so what she has is she has a chamber in which vapor is pumped and light is shooting through. And apparently what the loved ones on the other side are able to do is manipulate the particles of vapor that into images of themselves that can be captured on film. And it's apparently a painstaking process to go through these and select, because the images are constantly evolving and changing, and often into other people.
Okay.
And so she's recorded the images that she's captured and has, I don't know how many now she must have to date in the catalog of unknowns, but people can go. I mentioned it to friends. In fact, Rosanne Groover Norris, who became a friend of mine through all this, I believe also we were guided together by my son, Aaron, and her son, Lee, in spirit. And we've become very good friends. And so, there's just been so many synchronicities in our experiences. And Lee was also captured in, the image of Lee rather was captured in Sonia's laboratory earlier on, and Rosanne came across it during a conference. I can't describe how comforting it is to see that they still exist. My son still exists somewhere where I can't see with my eyes, but there's evidence that he exists. There's all kinds of evidence. He has sent me messages. He himself has manipulated messages in the clouds. I have words in the clouds from him, words, numbers, all kinds of things. Here's one that just happened, actually, very recently.
You just posted this on Instagram, didn't you?
I did.
I remember seeing this one, yes.
So we were at the cottage. This is the lake on the larger exposure there. The one next to it with the pink arrow is pointing at the number 5. I didn't see it at first because it's very small but I was only going to post, look at this beautiful picture of the lake and the interesting clouds. And then I spotted it. There's a 5.
You can't miss it.
You can't miss it. And it's like, it's so perfect. Like, I posted it. So I posted it. I'm a member of Helping Parents Heal. I thought, this might help. Like, how many parents might like to see that our kids are able to do this, right?
Yes.
So I posted it, and other people have from the group have commented that they can also see a face beside it. And I looked, and sure enough, there's a face.
Oh,
and
yes.
There's a dog.
Oh,
and
yes.
Aaron's dog is with him on the other side.
Oh, my goodness.
And Lee,
wow.
Rossanne's son also is with his dog. And there have been images of Lee and his dog that have appeared. So you can't make this stuff up. I guess people think that people do make this stuff up. But what benefit would there be to me? I don't know. This is an image also. This is from not long after Aaron passed. And we were at the cottage, and I was standing outside, and I was feeling really sad, which often happens. I still have moments where of sadness and missing him terribly. And this time I said, Aaron, I know you send me a lot of signs, but I just really feel like I need one today. Can you send me one that's really obvious? Anyway, I'm standing there, he sends what he sends me. I can ask him for a particular sign.
Right.
But sometimes, even if I do, he comes up with something even better.
Okay.
I'm standing there watching this little clump of clouds start moving around. And it wasn't a windy day.
Well, you can look at the lake. The lake is glass.
Yeah,
it's very calm. It's very calm.
Yeah. So I look at this and I see these clouds. They start swirling around. Next thing I know, I think, does that say I love you? You can see capital I.
Yes.
L.
I love you. You can see
and
that.
It was to the eye. It was definite. The camera, I caught it, you know.
Oh, you can see it. You can definitely see it.
Yeah. It was very obvious to my eye. And I was like,
what
wow.
a gift.
Yes. And, this is just a bit of what he's come up with and with his signs and his messages. And signs are what I find with Aaron and with a lot of people who receive signs is that they seem to occur in the right time with what's happening around you in life.
Okay.
So you have to really keep your mind open and just reflect on when you saw what was going on at the same time that you spotted this sign. And that's called a synchronicity.
Yes.
And what I noticed with Aaron is he likes to do that. He likes to send me signs in synchrony with life and then a few in a row so I can connect the dots and figure out his message. And sometimes he doesn't bother with signs. He just tells me stuff. And, you know, it's always around what's going on with what I'm experiencing at the moment. So,
you know what I think is really cool? And thank you so much for sharing those beautiful pictures, because you can't make that up. I mean, you look, it's like the lake is completely calm and you can see the words, you can see the number. It is just, and I'm a believer in signs. Like if you're paying attention, spirit knows, so that you're able to witness that and experience that beautiful gift. And I was thinking about this as you were describing how he was able to, and spirit's able to manipulate the vapor with Sonia Rinaldi's work. And it's just another example of how we are energetic beings and how we are all connected and how it doesn't matter what our, you know, like we think we're separate, right? We think we're in these physical bodies. We think you're here, I'm there, you're in Canada, I'm in North Carolina. But there is this beautiful energetic connection that's happening. And I have this quote from your book, Camille, that I just wanted to share that I just absolutely love. And I just wanted to see if you have any additional thoughts on this. So this is a journal entry that you wrote in December 15th of 2020. And you had asked him what you should be doing while you're still alive. Because I can only imagine what you were thinking and feeling and the grief that you, oh my gosh, it's just, I can only imagine. But it says here, he said that it doesn't matter what I do as long as it's done with kindness and love. He said that this is most important. Mom, you don't need to wonder or search for meaning as long as you treat everyone and everything with love. Love is the energy of the universe. You will find love for others within yourself, and you'll find their love for you within yourself too.
Yeah, I mean, anything Aaron has said to me has only been further reinforced as I go forward.
Okay.
So at the time, that's a profound message he gave me. But I came over time to believe that what he says, he really means. And it's coming from somewhere, not from within my brain. I don't come up with some of this stuff on my own that he has conveyed to me. And I think that message from him was really important to telling me that we are all connected. Mm-hmm. And what we put out, we receive. It comes back to you. I mean, it's a concept people talk about all the time. What goes around comes around. Some people call it karma. I know karma's more complicated than that. But mm-hmm. Aaron puts things very, I want to say perfectly. He's able to transmit to me in the most perfect words the message that I need to hear at the time. So feeling lost and alone in grief is a big problem for people. And he was reassuring me that I'm not alone, that no one is alone, that everything that is within ourselves, we can find beyond ourselves, that we are all created from the same source.
Now, this isn't a concept that you would have agreed with or believed necessarily prior to Aaron's transition. You said you identified as a spiritual person, but the Camille, the version of you that was before Aaron's transition, what was that thought process like?
There wasn't a lot of thought process in it before.
Okay.
Was the thing. I mean, it was kind of like, well, you know, religious beliefs, kind of what you're taught growing up. All of that kind of comes together into one big confusing kind yeah. of how does this all work? And so you kind of get on with life, you take care of business and practical matters and stuff, and you get busy with everything. I was very busy with a career and four children and didn't spend a lot of time thinking about those concepts.
Yeah.
So did I really stop and think about source, creation, and all of that? Not really.
So you Not have this really. You have this experience in the car when you first hear his voice, and you said it was just like as if he was sitting right there in the car with you, which you know he was. I mean, because he's mm-hmm. literally, I don't even want to say a thought away. It's literally we're all this in this connected field of energy. So when you have that experience, did you believe it right away, or did it take you, like, did you think your mind was playing tricks on you? What was your thought in that moment?
Well, you always, like, in that moment, it was his voice, and what he was telling me was, you know, made perfect sense from a scientific point of view. Everything emits energy. Now, did I know exactly how that all worked and everything? No.
Okay.
But as soon as it's over, you start to question and doubt. Yeah. So you think, was I hallucinating that? But the message wasn't something I would have thought of. My mind wasn't thinking in those terms. My mind was thinking how he's never going to see this.
Yeah.
And often that's how I can tell. Not that I something I'm just making up in my mind, because it's not something that I would normally have thought of or thought of in the terms he has conveyed to me.
Okay. What are some of the biggest changes that have gone? You mentioned this was a big, very big spiritual awakening for you, which is not uncommon, because I'm assuming prior to Aaron's transition, you didn't hear voices, you didn't have these types of experiences that you're aware of. And that is a very common theme, especially when people have some sort of a big, huge, major shakeup like this. That does, like you said, it's a spiritual awakening. Things are opening up, doors are opening up, channels are opening up because you're ready. So when you have the spiritual awakening, what kind of things did you notice as you started to heal and you're going through this spiritual process with Aaron still?
Yes. I mean, that all is part of the spiritual awakening, I believe. It is a journey. It doesn't all happen overnight. Over time, I started to make connections that I hadn't been making before. And I even had some psychic experiences that shocked me.
Before or after?
After.
So you hadn't had any of these types of experiences prior to Aaron's tragedy that you were consciously aware of?
I did have an out-of-body experience when I was pregnant with Aaron.
Oh, that's right. That was in the book.
Yes, but yes. I explained it away as, I had a fever, I was sick, and this is what my brain did. Mm-hmm. I came to learn after that, after reading about out-of-body experiences and near-death experiences, that's what it was. It awakens you to tune into yourself more and to tune into what's around you more, to be more open to receiving information, less focused on the small stuff, the busy day-to-day stuff. It gets you to really have to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't take care of yourself after something like this, it only gets worse for you. And so you become more tuned into your own feelings and emotions. And as you said, your intuition. I guess as far as that's all part of the same thing to me, is as a result of this happening and feeling like noticing actually that I'm being guided from one step to the next forward through my grief journey to what I need at the time. The most revealing thing about learning how to recognize we have an inner guidance that's tuned in to a greater power, a greater source beyond us. Aaron says that love is the energy of creation. And so love is the source of all.
Yes.
From that is how creation happens. So the more love we put out and the more love we give to ourselves, the more we're in flow with creation. This is Aaron's big message to me. He says, everything is created from love. Everything, all of our emotions, even the ones that we think aren't somehow connected to the source of creation, love. They all are, because some of them, as unpleasant as they might seem, we have for survival. Being tuned into yourself and to source of love is a means of survival as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when you started journaling, the journaling process, was that, I'm trying to remember, was that something that was recommended to you to start doing, that you should start to process through your grief? Is that how you got started journaling once? Because you started journaling fairly soon after he transitioned, correct?
Yes. With the grief fog I was in, I was going to forget these things. Even though I didn't start out as a believer in this type of stuff, they were so obvious to me that there was something going on and I should write down when I would have these experiences. So I called it my grief journal, but really it was Aaron's messages that I was journaling. Most of it were his messages. He spent so much time messaging me in the early days.
Now, when you were journaling, was it like a stream of consciousness that you were channeling through your pen, or were you hearing his words in your head at that point?
It was both. Okay. Sometimes it came out as a type of channeling, and other times I heard him and I would go and, you know, write it down.
Do you still hear his voice?
Yes. Yes,
wow.
I do. I do still hear his voice. I have to say that it's different now. It's not always like hearing it with my ears. Sometimes it's like telepathic.
Yes.
But I just came across something very interesting about telepathic communication in nonverbal people with autism, and they've done studies that demonstrate that they have an ability for telepathic communication. I mean, they have evidence of it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
So telepathy and a lot of things that people took for granted as, you know, mumbo jumbo or not the mainstream. This is all becoming mainstream. More progress that's made in the fields of science and physics and metaphysics as well, technology, we're starting to see now that there is something more out there and that we are connected beyond just our physical state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. What kind of gifts would you say you got from this process? The grief piece of it, setting that aside for just a moment, do you see any gifts that you received with this whole experience with Aaron?
Yes, I mean, definitely. Definitely. I would say one gift that I received was knowing, not questioning, not doubting, or wondering anymore, that there is... we do continue after our physical life ends. That's no question that consciousness continues on. There's so much evidence of it now, and scientific evidence of it now.
Yes.
That I believe I've been led to discover through reading, through connecting with people, through podcasts like yours, through all kinds of sources that I would have never knew existed before. The other gift that I think I've been given through this is knowing where grief comes from. And grief comes from love. It comes from love. I believe that grief is love. Because what would you be grieving if you didn't love?
That's true.
I know that doesn't necessarily sound like a gift, but it is a gift to know that, because I didn't think of it that way before.
Mm. I can't remember if this is covered in your book or not. Did Aaron know that he was going to be transitioning early? Did you ever get a sense that he didn't think he was going to be on this earth for long, or was it not even in a conversation, but did he know ultimately that his soul had planned this experience?
That's a really good question, because I didn't really realize it until in retrospect I started to think about some things. I can't say that Aaron ever verbalized it, but when he was about 4 years old, he asked me if I remembered when we were together before the dinosaurs and we traveled around wherever we wanted to go through the universe. And he was four, and I'm sitting, how is he coming up with this at 4 years old? You know?
Right.
And he was always so wise beyond his years. And okay. He offered so much, because of his intelligence, but also because of his wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I used to marvel at it. Like, where is this coming from? How does he just have a sense for these things? Right. And I used to call him an old soul.
Oh yes, absolutely. So how did you get the inspiration for the curating the second book, Gathering at the Doorway? How did that come about? Tell me about that a little bit, please.
Well, after I wrote Aaron's Energy, at first I wrote Aaron's Energy as a record of Aaron's life and messages to me for the family. I didn't even realize that it would get any other response than just the family would probably like to read it. Well, I learned after that, you know, it was helping people. Mm-hmm. And I was meeting people. People were reaching out to me who had a similar experience. And I think when you're early in your grief and feeling alone, you don't realize how many people are going through something similar. So this just all started to flow in, and I started meeting so many people, and one meeting led to another, and I discovered resources for healing and so many things related to grief and healing and mediumship and spirituality and everything. And one person led me to another, and people referred people, and eventually I started meeting new people, and I noticed that people want to share these stories. They just don't feel comfortable maybe sharing them with people who don't get it or might not accept it, might not believe it. But of course, I was very receptive to all of their stories because I was going through the same thing. And after meeting so many people, I thought, well, why don't we all share our stories? And so I started reaching out. I started with a handful of friends I had spoken with, and I posted thinking, oh, well, only these 10 friends will be interested in this post. So I post, and people started adding their, you know, saying they had a story, and more and more and more until it grew to over 40 people. And I thought, okay, that's probably as many as I can handle. And that's going to be a pretty thick book. And it is a thick book.
It is a thick book. It's yeah. A fabulous book.
But it's full of quite a variety of experiences and personal accounts from people who have never written before. It's also contains evidence from scientific research, published researchers, other authors, mediums, people with experience. Mm-hmm. And so it's quite a cross-section of people all experiencing the same things all over the world, because the authors are from nearly every continent.
Yes. Oh, it is a fabulous project. And as a result of it, you actually shocked me because you invited me to write my chapter, even though I don't have, my perspective was a little bit different. It was regarding my work as a medium and a channel. This book has changed my life, as I mentioned earlier in the beginning. So it's Gathering at the Doorway, an anthology of signs, visits, and messages from the afterlife, curated by Camille Dan. And this is available on Amazon. And also when you go to Camille's website, I'm sure there is a link there on how to get that. But when you invited me to write my chapter, which by the way, in the printed version is 33, which was so incredibly meaningful.
That was, yes.
Because you mentioned that you didn't, it was just the stories, the way you put them together, it just evolved, right? And then people were discovering that when they discovered what their chapter number was, people were finding significance with some of that. So I have met so many people as a result of this book as well. So I want to thank you for listening to your wisdom and your inner guidance. And Aaron, I know, has just been such a huge connector for so many of us. And just so, if you haven't had a chance to check out this book, Gathering at the Doorway, and also Camille's book, Aaron's Energy, highly recommend you check those out. Camille, I want to ask you about, for people who are going through the grieving process, do you have some words of advice or wisdom that you would share now that you've been down the road a handful of years or so? What would you say to somebody who's maybe facing this situation?
From my own experience, I would advise people to take things one moment at a time, not to set expectations on themselves, because that weighs on your grief. Grief is a long process of forward and backward steps, and not to be upset with yourself if you feel like you're sinking back after you've made some forward progress. You lose someone who's such a big part of you. You're not ever going to be that person again. And people, there's a lot of people who want you to go back to being the person they knew.
Okay.
And I don't think that's possible. And I don't think that's being right with yourself if you're trying to please other people. You're just going to drain your energy that you need for your own healing on that. Seek out people who have had the experience and who are a little further down the road of this journey as guides for you, because that's what helped me a lot. I joined Helping Parents Heal, which is an amazing group of, now I think it wasn't as many when I joined, I think they're over 25,000 members now.
Wow.
Yes. I can't thank them enough for what they do, and out of everyone, out of the kindness of their own hearts. And people are all at different stages of grieving, and people are always there to help. And that's probably what pulled me up from a lot of days of despair where I just felt like I was going to give up. But connecting with people who understand and who have walked in your shoes, it gives you the inspiration to keep going forward.
Any words of advice for people who don't know what to say, what would be the best thing for somebody to say to a friend or a relative who's just experienced they're going through the grieving process because their child is now on the other side? What words of advice could you say to the person? What can we say?
It's very hard for people. People are very uncomfortable with what to say, especially to grieving parents. And oftentimes they mean well, but something comes out the wrong way or doesn't come out as sounding as supportive as they wanted to sound. They just don't know what to say. Probably the best thing is to just say, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here for you and I feel for you.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect. I can see how that would be. It doesn't sound like it's judgmental. It doesn't sound like it's you're trying to fix or anything. It's truly support and coming from a place of love. I love that. Do you have any other final thoughts or words that you would like to share with the listeners before we wrap up today's podcast?
All I can say is how grateful I am for you, Lisa, having been guided to you. You know, I've done a healing session with you that really was remarkable and helped me through my grief. I mean, to me, all that's happened since we met and were guided to meet has been evidence that we are being guided by a higher power.
You really can't make this up, can you? Because no. I remember, I think this might have been right before you asked me if I wanted to share a chapter. I think you were on like in February on my podcast because I was so impressed with Aaron's energy. I don't even know if I was aware that you were putting Gathering at the Doorway together. And then when you reached out to me, I was like, wow, okay, ask me to write, share a chapter. But there was
Then all the synchronicities that occurred after to confirm that we were following this. That's the big thing I'm finding with the guidance I receive. I get a lot of thumbs up signs, yeah, like, oh, you're going the right way. All the authors, you know, when they started communicating with each other, finding out all these synchronicities, yeah, between them, with people they never knew.
Yes. Of my favorite people, I haven't even met them in person. Like, you and I have never had the opportunity to meet, but I am planning to get up to Canada one of these days and meet some of the people.
And I'm planning to get to North Carolina.
Fantastic. Some of my favorite people, I would have to say, the last couple of years have been in this book. I look forward to meeting some of these people in person. And
wouldn't that be amazing?
I have another author that'll be joining me. Sherry Gallant will be joining me on this podcast again. She is amazing. She's been on once before, and so I look forward to having a conversation with her. And that would have never happened if you hadn't asked me to share my chapter with the book. So thank you so much for honoring your guidance and honoring, and in spite of the grief, you did what Aaron was saying. You were coming from a place of love and kindness, and as a result of that, you're helping so many people. So I want to thank you and honor you for your part of
that. That's so wonderful to hear. And this is exactly what Aaron is guiding me to do, and to hear that this is actually happening in real life, and that you've made these connections and other people have made these connections. And, you know, we are connected energetically. And just what you shared now is, you know, speaks of the energy connections that we have with people we haven't even necessarily physically met.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So before we close this, I was guided to pull a card for the collective for today's session. One of the cards is from the Denise Lynn Soul Coaching Oracle Card Deck. And the second card I pulled is one of my standby go-tos, the Archangel Michael Sword of Light Oracle Deck. So I pulled two cards before today's session. I was curious to see what Spirit wanted to share. And the first one was pleasure. And pleasure is about taking care of ourselves, having fun, having joy. And we talked about that already in today's session. But it's that self-love, that self-care, that the joys of life. And you mentioned earlier, you know, grief comes from love. And even you're able to look in the sky and you can get pleasure from seeing the beautiful messages that Aaron shares with you in spirit. And that is absolutely beautiful. And then the second card I pulled was number 36, trust your angels. Let go of your expectations of how your dreams will come true. Trust that heaven has a perfect plan. And I love that card as well. So these messages for us and for those that are listening to this podcast, those are what Spirit would like us to remember. We are here to love one another. We are here to be part of the solution. We are here to have this beautiful energetic connection. And it doesn't matter where we are in the world, where we are, what dimension we are, whether we're in spirit with the dimension where Aaron is connecting with you, or we appear to be having these human experience, whatever, however you want to define that, it is just this beautiful connection. And thank you, Camille, for coming on today and sharing your story. You are such an inspiration, and it is, thank you for this. I know that this journey that you have been on is not an easy one, but it is a message that is just so powerful. And again, from a personal perspective, my personal thank you so much for having the guidance to write Aaron's energy, which got my attention. I'm sure Aaron was like, hey, my guides, and Aaron were like, hey, yeah, pay attention. And also just how many people have been helped and healed and have met as a result of your work. So thank you very, very much. How can people find you? You have a website that I will put in the show notes. You want to share with the listeners how we can find more about you?
Thank you. Yeah. So my website is www.aaronsenergy.com. And on my site, I share lots of books, a list of hundreds of 4- and 5-star books on spirituality, mediumship, metaphysics, afterlife, and all related subjects. I founded a book club called the Book Club Across the Veil that we read and review, and we have people sharing their book recommendations, and authors can post and promote their books on the Facebook page, the Book Club Across the Veil, and can join on Facebook or through my website. A list of resources for people grieving and are looking for recommendations on sources of healing. You're in there, the list of resources, as well as many others. And so it's basically from my own experience I share. And I really do believe that sharing is healing. And sharing is connecting. And this is what Aaron's energy and everything that comes from it is all about.
I love that. And Aaron's energy is spelled A-A-R-O-N.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, well, Camille, thank you again so much for joining us today. It has been such a pleasure. And until next time, please remember, we are fully supported, we are fully protected, and we are fully loved. Thank you. Love and blessings. Please remember that the information shared here today is for education and informational purposes only. Please always see the appropriate mental and medical health professional when needed.